Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 18th of March, the 77th day of 2024, with 289 days ahead of us on our way to 2025, time to start celebrating the official arrival of spring. In just spring, writes E.E. Cummings, when the world is mud-luscious, the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee. This March has brought us much marvelous meteorology, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, though not always in that order, hey nonny nonny no. The ancient Latins, the same who once upon a time began each year with the month they called Martius, or March, the month named after the god of war, Mars, not only believed the year should begin with some planting, to grow food, to sustain themselves, but also should include a skirmish or two. And hence, in general, vita est non sine periculo, life is not without danger. Meanwhile, amid these strategies in a 21st century context is the polemical spring-ahead time change of this past week, where we pay back the hour that we debited this past November when we fell behind, deluding ourselves into thinking we had gained something. A real variety of falling, however, that has had my interest since our week before Christmas windstorm is across town at R. Esker along the Stillwater River, a place we call Terre Pleine, after the Spanish for embankment. There, the Esker is held in place by an assortment of hemlock, most of them holding steady, but a few having succumbed to the rhythms of the 80-mile-an-hour gusts, though not entirely, as they have become hangers, trees that began to fall but could not enter completely into free fall because the limbs and branches of other trees in close proximity caught the falling trees, suspending them at angles, so that now I have a hierarchy of hangers, one or two needing attention immediately, as they could break branches and continue their fall, potentially onto valued outbuildings, and another one or two that also qualify as hazard trees, but not quite at the level of risk that the aforementioned pair are presenting. Ah, how to stay on an even keel. Perhaps a couple of stanzas from Amy Woolard's poem Late Shift may help. Forgive ourselves, give ourselves the tenderest title, and call it a day. How could we ever, how could we not? Baby, draw the spoked sun in the corner of our afternoon sky. Wake us in its slow-cooked gaze. Heavenward tonight, appearing south in the sky, our bright gibbous moon will pass near the constellation Gemini's twin stars Pollux and Castor, the former looking golden and a tad brighter than the latter, looking quite white. Their trajectory for our viewing begins before sunset and crosses the sky's dome until just before sunrise. And at about 8 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll have the March or spring equinox, beginning a brief celestial spell when the sun rises due east and sets due west. Today in 37 AD, the Roman Senate annulled Tiberius's will and proclaimed Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, a.k.a. Caligula, meaning little boots, emperor. Today in 1325, according to legend, Tenochtitlan was founded on an island in what was then Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico. Today in 1507, Margaret of Austria was named the first woman governor of the Netherlands. Today in 1532, the English Parliament banned payments by the English Church to the Catholic Church in Rome. Today in 1834, the first railroad tunnel in the U.S. was completed in Pennsylvania and was about 275 yards long. Today in 1881, the Barnum and Bailey Circus, traveling as the greatest show on earth, debuted in New York City's Madison Square Garden. Today in 1911, North Dakota enacted a hail insurance law. Today in 1942, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9102, creating the War Relocation Authority, charged with overseeing the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Today in 1965, Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov became the first person to conduct a spacewalk. Today in 1963 in New York City, Vanessa Williams was born to parents who were both public school music teachers, who raised Vanessa and her brother as Catholics in the suburban community of Milkwood, New York. Vanessa played French horn and, after becoming somewhat of a singing star at her high school, decided to try show business and, while establishing herself, had some nude photos taken, but assumed the photos would never appear publicly. She entered a beauty contest to gain public attention and worked her way up the pyramid of contests to eventually win the Miss America crown. Only weeks before her reign was about to end, however, the nude photos from the past were printed. Pageant officials forced Vanessa to resign, which also resulted in the loss of $2 million worth of endorsements, two previously scheduled appearances on Bob Hope's specials, a starring role in the Broadway show My One and Only, and a job hosting the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Thus, Vanessa Williams had become not only the first black Miss America, but also the first Miss America to resign. Yet, after struggling through the late 1980s into the early 1990s to rebuild her career, she succeeded with the hit albums The Right Stuff, The Comfort Zone, and The Sweetest Days. Today is also the birthday in 1380 of the Dutch mystic and saint Lidwina. In 1603 of Massachusetts Bay colonist Simon Bradstreet, husband to New England's first major poet Anne Bradstreet, the 10th muse lately sprung up in America. In 1782 of U.S. Vice President John C. Calhoun, in 1837 of U.S. President Grover Cleveland, in 1842 of French poet Stéphane Mallarmé, in 1844 of Russian composer Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, in 1858 of German engineer Rudolf Diesel, in 1869 of British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, in 1879 of Canadian doctor and inventor of the gas mask Clooney McPherson, in 1893 of English soldier and anti-war poet Wilfred Owen, in 1909 of American winemaker Ernesto Gallo, in 1911 of American country music singer-songwriter Smiley Burnett, in 1922 of American civil rights activist Fred Shuttlesworth, in 1926 of American actor Peter Graves, in 1927 of American sports writer George Plimpton, in 1932 of South African president and Nobel Prize winner F.W. de Klerk, and of poet and novelist John Updike. In 1941, of American R&B singer Wilson Pickett. In 1947, of British rock drummer Barry Wilson. In 1948, of American musician Bobby Whitlock. In 1956, of Swedish Alpine Olympian Ingemar Stenmark. And in 1964, of American speed skating Olympian Bonnie Blair. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the last half week of winter, to the first half week of spring, and to the 12th week of 2024.